Order. Order. The House will come to order straight away. Order.
When Parliament resumes on Tuesday to start the final two sitting weeks in this term, all eyes will be on one man, Justice Minister Simon Power, who, as acting Leader of the House, also has the job of clearing the government's desk of legislation that must be passed before the election. With one of these six sitting days left scheduled to be set aside for members' bills, including the third and final reading of the ACT Party's bill to end compulsory membership of student unions, up to 3.5 hours could also be taken up by valedictory speeches from retiring members, 7 next week and 7 the week after. So urgency would seem to be certain, giving Mr. Power more time for debate on bills, some of them his own legislation and some of it highly controversial, requiring the National Party, which has 57 votes following the departure of John Carter, to find another 4 from other parties to provide the bare majority of 61 needed to get his legislation through. Meanwhile, with no select committees this week, Rhys Lyon had time to take a look at an unusual petition.
Invercargill resident Johan Rickerink got sick of loud television commercials and decided to petition Parliament to address the problem. It's the most recent chapter in a long story, which began with Mr. Rickerink taking his complaint to the Broadcasting Standards Authority, as well as television channels 1 and 3, and even directly to advertisers such as retailer Harvey Norman. But he got nowhere, so launched his petition, which has attracted more than 2,000 signatures.
Basically, I think that the ads are way too loud, not all of them, just some of them, I feel like. It's the consumer pays for the products, and basically once they pay for the products, the money goes towards the ads. So they're basically torturing us with their own money.
Mr. Rickerink's petition calls for commercials to be no louder than a quarter of the level of the average television program.
But I would like to see the ads so that you could turn the ads up instead of having to turn the ads down. I reckon that is the reasonable level.
Johan Rickerink. To find out how to petition Parliament, I spoke with the Clerk Assistant in charge of select committees, David Wilson.
What effectively happens is that a member of Parliament has to present the petition. So anyone of any age can sign one, and they ask a member to present it. Now, the member doesn't have to support the petition, they just have to agree to present it, and usually people would go to their constituency MP to do that. The MP presents that petition to the Clerk of the House. It's then checked by the Office of the Clerk to make sure it meets those rules. Having then accepted the petition, the Clerk of the House, at the beginning of the sitting each day, reads out the names of any petitions that have been presented.
Mr. Rickerink's petition was presented to Parliament on September the 7th.
The petition of Johan Rickerink, requesting that the House consider passing a law which would cap the level of sound and advertisements during television programmes to a level no greater than a quarter of the decibel level of the average TV programme.
Clerk of the House, Mary Harris. The petition is then sent to the relevant select committee, who hear evidence on it.
The standard process would be to ask the petitioner for a submission. And if the petition's about an area that affects a government department or something a government department's responsible for, usually they'd be asked for a submission as well. Quite often, those are the only people who are asked for evidence, but there are cases of petitions where upwards of 50 submissions have been requested and received, and hearings have been quite significant. There's nothing stopping anyone else writing to the committee if they want. The committee will decide whether to accept that. And sometimes they decide the issue's a bit wider and they want information from a wider range of people.
The committee then decides what to do with the petition.
Some can get a great deal of attention, and there are cases where consideration of a petition has led to an inquiry into a much wider consideration of the issue. Others where they've received submissions, considered those and perhaps decided there is no issue that they want to make a recommendation on and just reported that to the House.
It's then in the hands of the government.
The only requirement on the government, obviously the report on the petition isn't binding, the same with all the other recommendations from a select committee, but if the committee does make recommendations to the government, then it has to respond to them within 90 days, like it would on an inquiry or anything else where a committee makes findings. And that's a way of ensuring that the government explains what its response is going to be where Parliament has said something should happen.
And with only 2 sitting weeks left in this Parliament, time is running out for consideration of petitions currently before select committees.
Some don't get reached before the end of the Parliament, and the same with any other business in front of Parliament at the time. When Parliament's dissolved on the 20th of October, any petitions in front of it will lapse, along with any other business. Now, they can be reinstated in the next Parliament, but they're not always. If they're not, there's nothing stopping a person petitioning on the same issue again.
David Wilson, Assistant Clerk in charge of Select Committees, ending that report from Rhys Lyon. I'm Tom Fruin, and this program is brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.